listening to The Ouachita Chronicles.
Hey, Jerry.
Hey, Ashley.
Hey, guess what?
What?
We have a sponsor.
Ooh, delightful. Who is it?
I know. It is Dawn's Easy Pay and Dawn's Home Store. They've got a whole bunch of locations, so find them on Facebook and definitely check them out. But a big thank you to Dawn's for sponsoring the Ouachita Chronicles. So, Jerry, you know my history with tourism, and I've mentioned it a couple times over the course of our podcast series, how involved I was in it. That was my job, was to directly promote Mena and Polk County as far as tourism goes. And we mentioned many, many times in this episode how vital tourism is to our area. People do not realize. They see the people coming in on ATVs. Mm-hmm. They see the influx in the fall. But they just have no idea how many actual dollars are spent from tourists.
Absolutely. And what that means to schools, to roads, to bridges, absolutely vital to the general fund of our towns here. And people just seem to sometimes take it for granted.
They do, for sure. We were very lucky to be able to interview the director of Arkansas Tourism, Travis Napper, as our guest today. And we got to visit with him about tourism in general in Arkansas, a little bit about his background, and his visit to Mena, because he did make a visit down here and took a little tour of the area, as well as what the future holds for Arkansas tourism. So let's meet our guest, Travis Napper. Welcome to this episode of the Ouachita Chronicles. I'm your host, Ashley Smith, along with my co-host, Jerry.
Hello there.
Hello, Jerry. And our guest in the studio today will actually be a Zoom call because he was gracious enough to give us a little bit of his time is Travis Napper. And Travis is currently the director of Arkansas Tourism. So welcome, Travis.
Glad to be here, Ashley.
Hey,
nice
we're glad.
Nice to meet you, Jerry.
Nice to meet you as well.
Yeah, we're very glad to have you. So we'll jump right into it. You know, of course, I had to do a little digging. So I've got some stats on you from Louisiana, but I'm going to fill you in here. My co-host, Jerry.
I'm from Minden, Louisiana. So when Ashley said you were a graduate of Louisiana Tech University, it's go Bulldogs.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Big fan of Louisiana Tech.
Yeah. And Jerry, you were the editor down there of the Ruston.
No, of Minden's paper.
She was the editor.
I was a reporter there.
Reporter at Minden's paper. And so she's got a lot of background on writing and travel and tourism in that area. I'm sure you guys could have some shared stories should we be off audio at some point.
Look forward to it, Jerry.
So give us a little bit of background. I mean, were you born in Louisiana?
Yes, originally from Monroe, Louisiana. Grew up there through high school, then moved over to Ruston, Louisiana, not far, 30 minutes down the interstate, still in North Louisiana, to go to Louisiana Tech University. Most everyone in my family had been there. We were big fans. We went to all the football games, the basketball games. My grandmother lived over there. I had some aunt and uncle and cousins live over there. So had spent plenty of time visiting through the years. And so it wasn't a big change to go to school there. Thoroughly enjoyed my time there. Graduated in marketing, didn't know what I wanted to do, but I liked it there. So started working at the university in admissions and became the director of orientation. Did that for about 6 years and stumbled into tourism like a lot of people do in tourism. Not many grow up saying that's what I want to do when I grow up, or even go to school in college and say that's what I want to do. Someone I'd actually worked for when I was a student at the university at the Alumni Association had ended up working and running the Convention and Visitors Bureau there in Ruston in Lincoln Parish. And he had an opportunity and said, hey, I could see you doing this. You should look into it and see if you'd like it. And I did and applied. And there I ended up there.
In 2012, correct? You took over as
correct.
President.
2012, president and CEO of the Convention and Visitors Bureau there. So kind of went from selling the university to selling the whole community. So not a huge leap there. And did that for 8 years. Mm-hmm. And then got a call out of nowhere from Secretary Hirsch saying, hey, we have a position up here to market our entire state of Arkansas.
So Arkansas swooped you up.
Yes. Yes. Somehow I ended up on someone's radar that passed my name along. I'm not sure how. And we had a good meeting and met with the governor, and everything went well, and I'd had family ties here. My grandmother and grandfather lived in Hot Springs and spent many, many holidays there, many summers there. My mom had grown up, at least in the summers, working up there. So I had some familiarity with parts of Arkansas. So that wasn't too big of a jump. It's obviously not too bad of a trip. It's a 3-hour trip from Ruston to Little Rock, straight shot pretty much on 167. And that's kind of how I ended up here. The ironic thing is, I told you that the guy introduced me to tourism. When he was leaving for that new opportunity, that was to go be the state director of tourism for Louisiana.
Oh,
so that office has produced 2 state tourism directors for 2 different states. Kind of interesting. And ended up here last April 1st.
We definitely want to touch on how that coincided with what everyone in America is dealing with. But I do want to let the listeners know that while you were in Ruston, I mean, you also served as the president of the Louisiana Association of CBBs. You were the vice chair of Louisiana Travel and Promotion Association. So, I mean, you had quite the credentials coming into Arkansas. That's probably why you were on our radar, I'm guessing. All those amazing things that you did there.
Who knows? But I did definitely try to invest in the industry throughout our state. It was very beneficial to me to be surrounded by other leaders in tourism throughout the state. And I even did some work with Destination International, which is kind of it's the trade association for all CBBs internationally, and did some work on their foundation and spent a lot of time that has been very valuable. The relationships built and what I was able to learn at the highest level there.
Right, right. So coming into this position as the director of tourism, your first official day was April 1st of 2020, and you were taking over where Jim Daly had retired in 2019. I mean, I can't imagine the thoughts that were going through your head when everything, you know, started happening in February and March, and you were like, oh my gosh, I start this new job, and it's a direct hit to that industry. So kind of tell us what your thoughts were there.
Oh, yeah, that was quite interesting. All those conversations, meeting with the governor, everything leading up to that was pre-COVID. Wasn't on my radar at all. That was back when that was some little story in the news about something over in China, maybe.
When life was normal.
Yes. And I was fortunate enough to actually be able to, before I'd started, attend the governor's conference on tourism over in Fort Smith, just to kind of see it. Even then, everything was still really pretty normal. And little did we know, by the end of that week, pretty much, that's when everything changed. And, you know, I don't think any of us were quite prepared. No one had, a crisis book for that.
No.
But it's made it all that more challenging, obviously. But despite that, I figured I tried to take the positive tone in that and say, you know, from here, it can only be go up, hopefully. But it has been quite a different experience than what I would have thought. I would have thought I'd been, you know, touching every part of this state, doing a lot more traveling, whether that's in state or out of state, selling and marketing, you know, all that we have to offer. But instead, I've been much more limited to behind a screen, like so many others.
Right.
Which is quite different. And trying to build relationships with an industry across an entire state, not to mention just my staff that continues to work remotely, has been a challenge, but something that, you know, I'm up to and continue to work through. And I think it's going well so far. And like I said, I hope it just continues to get better and better. See many more faces in the future and plenty more smiles.
Hey, Jerry, you know how I was mentioning that I really needed a new couch?
Mm-hmm.
Look at this one I found online.
I mean, that's great and all, but why are you looking for furniture online?
Well, because of the selection and the price. And
that's absolutely ridiculous. You have the same selection and better prices, and you can actually sit and experience the furniture you're going to get for your home at Don's Easy Pay.
Oh, yeah. Aren't they the one who's been family-owned and operated for like 40 years?
Yes, they are, and they offer all the brands you're going to find online, like Ashley, GE, Whirlpool, Catnapper, Samsung, England Furniture, Speed Queen, and more. If you visit the store and it's not there for you to sit on, and experience, they can special order for you. You can have anything you want there, and the prices are going to really reflect in your pocketbook.
So, like, the same Ashley furniture that I'm looking at online, I can get at Don's?
Yeah. Absolutely.
Okay, what about delivery setup? Because, you know, shopping online, I get delivery.
Yeah, shopping online, then you've got your delivery fees, your shipping fees, taxes, yada, yada, yada. You go to Don's, you see the price tag, taxes included, delivery fee included, any financing options included in the price on the tag. No math.
Okay, well, what about other stuff? What if I don't just need a couch? What else do they have?
Oh my gosh, every major appliance for your washroom, your kitchen. They've even got game systems, vacuums, stuff for home and garden. If you need it for your house, you can go to Don's and get it. You can also go to Don's and get tires. I mean, really, anything that you need, you can get it at Don's.
Well, you know, I'm really hard on my appliances. What if something breaks?
Not to worry, because Don's does all of the appliance work on things that you buy from them. Things like washers, dryers, ranges, refrigerators, and freezers. So you buy it from them, it breaks, they're going to help you out with appliance repair.
Well, this place that I was shopping online, they had like financing options. Does Don's have that too?
Yes, absolutely. All right, so they've got the retail, like if you just buy it, they've got the price there. You can rent to own it, or you can do 180 days same as cash, or you can do 6 months same as cash for anything over $1,000. And all of that has the tax and delivery, everything included in the price.
So the price on the piece is the price that I would be paying.
Yeah, price on the piece is the price that you pay.
All right, so where all is Don's at? I mean, where do I go?
If you live in Arkansas, you're pretty much close to it. I mean, you've got one in Mena, Waldron, DeQueen, Broken Bow, Idabel, Poto, and they're also going to be doing this really cool new home store in Boonville.
So Don's Home Store in Boonville.
Yeah.
Awesome. Awesome. Okay. So can I find them online too?
Yeah. So you just get on Facebook and search Don's Easy Pay and then put in your location like Mena or Waldron, Idabel or Boonville. And you can look at their Facebook page, give them a call, find their address, and just stop in and see what they can do for you.
So basically, if I need it for my home, Don's Easy Pay has it.
Mm-hmm.
All right, dude, let's go. Car. Shopping trip. Well, it seems like you really, you know, jumped in with both feet, ready to get your hands dirty. Like you said, you really couldn't touch all the parts of the state that you wanted to. And I do have to say, I was at that governor's conference that you were also at. And, you know, within a week, like you said, it's just everything shut down. There was rumblings of it at the conference. And, you know, none of us, I feel like we're really taking it as seriously as we should have at the time. But it was a good conference. And I'm glad you got to attend that and see firsthand before you even got started. But as far as, you know, the challenges that go with COVID, you know, tourism is the second largest industry. I don't have to tell you that. You're in charge of it all right now. But employing more than 100,000 people and travelers spent, as Governor Hutchins said, $7.37 billion in 2018. That's a pretty big number.
It's a huge number.
And there's so many people across the U.S. and in other countries that Arkansas's not even on their radar as far as tourism goes as a vacation spot. But it is. I mean, we have so much to offer. So with you coming in during COVID, as you said, you didn't get a chance to travel really like you wanted to, but you did, as much as you could, make a tour of the state, especially of the areas you hadn't been familiar with. And you made a visit to Mena. We were lucky to get to host you here for a day. So we'd like to know more about your thoughts there and what your impression of our area was.
We did. I had a great time there. We visited up at Queen Wilhelmina, started up there bright and early, had breakfast, and then a little tour of the park, which was nice. And then we're able to come down and meet with you. And you were such a gracious host. And we got to see quite a bit. And I think I can, and that was one of the trips actually my wife was one of the only ones my wife was able to come to. So it was neat for both of us to kind of get to see a new park. But at the same time, there was a whole lot about Mena that reminded us of home back in Ruston. And Jerry, you might be more familiar with Ruston, so you could maybe see that too.
Absolutely.
Loved the wonderful downtown and just the friendliness of the people and the local theater there and then the park and just so much redevelopment too. And it looks like a really, I think I mentioned it multiple times, there's a good energy I felt there despite being, this is in the middle of COVID and there's not as much movement, but you could still feel that energy of new development happening there and excitement over the potential of if the world was all open right now,
right,
man, what would be happening here and what will be happening there in the future. And being not as populous to certain places, well, they probably actually have more flexibility to be a little more active, which is a benefit. But I love right there on, not Main Street, like you said, but Mena Street.
Mena Street.
I was very impressed, honestly, with the variety of the type of shops and attractions and stuff that was available in a community like that, which was quite refreshing to see. And the classic options, And then with new developments and kind of that new investment with all the Ouachita roasters and mm-hmm. that whole growing group of all the little different things they're trying to touch and improve, it is wonderful to see. We ate good while we were there too and got to meet a few people. I want to say it was there, even the little theater had figured out some way. Was that where they were doing the live read shows?
Yes.
I mean, they were finding ways to still bring the arts, bring what they care about to their community. And I like to see that. They were being very resilient and not letting the pandemic get the best of them.
Resilient is a very mm-hmm. good way to describe MENA, actually. We're one of those communities that, you know, tragedy befalls. Of course, we've had a couple of serious tornadoes, but our community is very, very resilient. They bond together and help each other out in any way they can, just like with the Ouachita Little Theater, you know, finding out ways to still do that. We visited with Pasha Watson, who's the director of the Chamber, mm-hmm. director of tourism. We had her on the show last week and we were talking a little bit about tourism numbers. And she said that, you know, they were very, very pleasantly surprised mm-hmm. that numbers actually still increased. So MENA is a terrific place to social distance for sure. Yes. With all the outdoors, it not being overly crowded. And we were so glad to see that revenue continued to pour in here because it's absolutely vital to our community as it is to the state of Arkansas.
And that's what we've seen throughout Arkansas. Honestly, if you get into the more rural areas, you're having places that are having their best year ever. Mm-hmm. Not just a good year, but their best year ever, which is so nice to have some bright spots like that. Now you still have others, you know, balancing that out on the other end of the extreme with worst year ever, obviously in relation to what's normal.
Right. But this was a banner year for VRBO type lodging places, cabins. Absolutely. And, you know, spots where they felt much, much safer. I know it was a huge hit to, you know, the hotel industry specifically, but then like you said, best year ever, we've got, you know, little cabins here in MENA that are like, oh my gosh, we couldn't keep up. We couldn't make reservations fast enough and people would come and stay and they'd want to extend their reservation. And we've already got other people coming in. So that was pretty serious that they were able to really flourish in a time when not everybody was able to. Mm-hmm. We've seen the increase in traffic as always. And, you know, we've got our tourist season. So we know that everything kind of slows down over the winter and then picks back up in the spring and summer's great. And then fall when we have the, you know, Talamina Scenic Byway with the fall colors, we call them traffic jams and it's nothing like what you experience in Little Rock, but it's a traffic jam. For MENA, for sure. Were there any other standout areas in the Ouachita Mountain region to you? Because, you know, as far as our show goes, we try not to cover, you know, just MENA. We're extending, you mm-hmm. know, over Norman, Mount Ida, Caddo Gap, Hot Springs, anywhere that falls within that Ouachita Mountain region. Mm-hmm. So we definitely want to highlight any of those that stood out to you.
I'm much familiar with Hot Springs, just having gone there a whole lot growing up, but it's been kind of neat to be reintroduced to things that I feel like I've known for a long time, but really I knew them as a child mm-hmm. and now I get to be reintroduced to them as an adult and see them kind of differently, even down to Tiny Town.
Yes.
I know it's so funny, but like when I was visiting, I was like, had some staff with me. I said, y'all have to indulge me. I haven't been here in, I don't know, maybe 30 years, but I want to see it. I can't believe this place is still open. But there and all down central, and just see the growth they've had in their lodging and, you know, their convention center. None of that existed when I was a kid. And that's so neat to see. And then the new expansion over at Oakland is awesome as well. Now, there's certain areas I still haven't got to, but one thing when we're in the area, we went to Little Missouri Falls. And honestly, that is right up there at the top of one of my favorites of my trips around the state so far. Maybe it was just the weather was perfect that day or what, but when I left, it was one of those, like, if I could do it all over again, I knew now that we've done a pandemic, next time a pandemic comes, somehow I want to make sure they can get Wi-Fi down to Little Missouri Falls. And I'll just, that'll become my go-to office in between calls. I'll just be in a little floaty down there. When it gets too hot, you know, jump in the shade or jump in the water, it gets a little cool. Get out in the sun. Just
we'll get right on Wi-Fi.
Mm-hmm. Please yeah. do. No. Yeah. We'll no, it was awesome. That really stood out as one of my favorite spots so far.
It's interesting you mentioned that because, you know, locals like us, and especially when I was at the chamber and with tourism, people would come in and they would want to know about spots like that. Maybe that, you know, it's always in the brochures, et cetera, but the pictures and the description, they just don't do it justice. And I think you realize that when you visited there, that they'll always ask us about those spots. And I have to be honest, there's times when I'm
kind of hesitant to tell them, you know what I mean? Like to keep it pristine, like to keep it where it's not crowded. But gosh, it's definitely on my top of my list as well. That and really any portion of the Cahsatot River, which I'm lucky to live only about 20 minutes from. I mean, that's where we spend all of our summers. And that's why Arkansas and MENA specifically is so amazing. The scenery, the clean water, the abundance of outdoor activities. You can do just about anything around here if you're an outdoor enthusiast. And, you know, I truly hope that, you know, the work that you're doing with Arkansas Tourism continues to spread the word about Arkansas being the most amazing place to visit, really is the natural state. But as far as the future of tourism, I know you don't have a crystal ball. You can't look ahead, but do you see any significant changes into the way Arkansas markets itself or tourism in general around here?
Well, I look forward and I sure hope. And I think that we have a bright future. We've been on a great trajectory leading into the pandemic anyway, on growth and tourism, and honestly, all parts of the state. We've touched so many areas in the state. Our state's weathered it better than many, many other states because being the natural state, and we've been introduced or even reintroduced, kind of like myself, to so many new people during this time that, you know, those people are going to want to come back and visit again because they didn't get to visit most of the things to the fullest extent. You know, all the restaurants weren't open, not all the shops, not all the attractions were open or to full extent. They're going to, you know, want to come back and do it again and see the other things they heard about when they were there. And the next level of that is they're going to tell other people about their great experience. And that just adds a whole new group of people that continue to come. As we've made our trips as a family, and I don't do a ton of posting on social media, but my wife has really piqued the interest in North Louisiana to all different parts. I mean, from small parts to, you know, you're more urban and bigger areas here in Little Rock or Northwest Arkansas, but in the Delta State Parks, all these different things. She gets a message every time. She's like, maybe I should be a travel agent now.
I was about to say, put Brittany on the payroll.
But I want us to continue to build stronger connections to all parts of the state and build our relational reputation. And whether that be with our partners like y'all, or, you know, our Convention and Visitor Bureaus, AMPs, or whether it be the, you know, our visitors, with those people at the welcome centers that, and our employees that are greeting them every day, and with a goal of not just to, you know, tell them, you know, here's this on the map, here's this on the map, here's, you know, a good clean restroom, but doing their best to build out a strong, extended itinerary and enjoy the best that there is and wherever they're going or on their way to and from wherever they're going in Arkansas. I want to grow our ability to make smart decisions for our marketing, like you had asked. And the best way to do that is through data. We want to make sure we're growing what we have available to us, and that's going to take some investment. And it's amazing what is out there and what's being developed every day. And because of COVID, more and more has become available. So we'll continue to utilize that and grow that to make the best decisions to reach, you know, highly targeted audiences. And this kind of goes with the next thing. And that's knowing our strengths and then sharing them abundantly. It's easy for us to say, oh, you know, waterfalls, oh, mountain biking, oh, the natural state, oh, the great outdoors, oh, you know, Bentonville, oh, you know, the great music in the Delta, all these things. And we kind of maybe get tired of them because we hear them all the time, but it's new and it's the first time to someone else. And we need to make sure, you know, that we are well known. And even those that have heard it, we need to make sure it's echoed over and over again and reinforced across all the different avenues. And then when that person says, hey, I went, I can say that is truth. Then you can't get any better than that. That's a for sure trip booking soon coming our way.
Hey, hold on. Can we pause this for a second?
What's going on? Ashley, what are you getting into?
Dude, starving.
Oh my gosh, what is it that you're eating?
Wendy's breakfast.
It's Wendy's breakfast?
Uh-huh.
Where's mine?
You gotta get your own.
Oh man. If I was gonna get something, it'd definitely be my favorite oatmeal bar. They've got those, brown sugary nuggets of just awesomeness.
Hold on, I'm dripping. Okay, so yeah, you know me. I love breakfast. It's like my favorite meal of the day. So I'm absolutely hooked on the breakfast Baconator from Wendy's.
It's all the honey butter chicken biscuit.
No, dude, bacon.
Honey butter chicken biscuit.
Bacon!
Honey butter chicken biscuit.
Can we compromise and have the maple bacon chicken croissant?
Okay, yes. That does sound amazing.
It does. Well, in addition to those really cool unexpected items that Wendy's carries for breakfast, you can always get a classic sausage, egg, and cheese biscuit or a bacon, egg, and cheese sandwich.
Mmm, then we could make it like a combo and get them seasoned potatoes.
Oh, they're crispy. They're seasony. Those are good. You can download their app and you get 10 points for every dollar you spend at Wendy's. And right now, you get $3 off every mobile order over $15. If you're like us and you love Wendy's and you need more in your life, make sure and visit the Wendy's location nearest you. Because remember, Wendy's is always fresh, always hot, and always satisfying. Well, one of the greatest resources for people looking to visit Arkansas is Arkansas.com, the state tourism website. And when COVID first started to happen and put a major stop to tourism in general, you guys adapted really quickly. You started to post, you know, virtual tours of some of the biggest attractions in the state, you know, Mid-America Science Museum, I want to say Garvin Woodland Gardens. I mean, just really anything that you guys could do, any kind of a virtual walkthrough. So people had the opportunity to feel like they were traveling from their couch. So you guys adapted to that really quickly. And I think things like that, as you said, you know, it's all about the data. It's all about reaching people and giving them, you know, other ways to experience this place. Seems like you did a terrific job of that.
Mm-hmm. Well, thank you. Yeah, we did the Arkansas at Home, gave you all different options that you could experience Arkansas in many different ways from your phone or computer at your house. But we continued to roll that out with Arkansas Ready for Travel, which is really about showcasing across the vast industry of tourism the different ways that the industry is adapting to COVID and, you know, providing safe experiences. And whether that, you know, we highlighted restaurants and we highlighted lodging, we highlighted different transportation options, our welcome centers, our state parks, many different options and many different examples of how it's being done well. We even did a small meeting reunion that went off great at one of our state parks. So we tried to highlight those to just showcase these things. Not only can they happen, they are happening, and here's how they're happening. We'll continue to do that, but we're going to also kind of start pivoting now to trying to share some of the success stories like we're talking about, where y'all are having a really good year despite this, and not just dwell on the difficult parts, but let's highlight some of the good things that are happening in many of the different parts of our state.
Well, we will definitely look forward to that. Mm-hmm. If you happen to be listeners, if you happen to be in the tourism industry in Arkansas at all, and you're not signed up to receive Travis's Industry Insider newsletter, you definitely need to go and do that. And you can access that on Arkansas.com. But as far as Arkansas.com being a terrific resource for people who are looking to visit the state, it's also a terrific resource for those in tourism, because you get a free business listing on Arkansas.com if you're in tourism specifically, and you can really tailor that to exactly what you need it to be. You've got your photos, you've got your description, you've got all your contact info. So that's a terrific tool for people in this industry, and you really need to take advantage of it. Travis and the entire tourism team are doing everything they can to help promote you and that industry as a whole in Arkansas. But as I used to say all the time, you know, you've got to also participate mm-hmm. in that. So if you don't have your business listed, you need to make sure that you do that. And there's qualified professionals at State Tourism that can help you take care of that.
Yes, we're here to help. And our web numbers have been up during this time period. So despite thoughts of travel might be down, you would think we're still seeing best traffic we've had. And you probably know this as good as anyone, as far as not only can you get that listing, but then you have the back end of that to know
right.
what is driving to your business and how you can tweak and where they're coming from and stuff like that. So you can learn that kind of, you know, as an extension of that, talk about the data, not just us being able to use it, but then our partners being able to use it as well.
Yeah, that's very, very valuable analytics, especially for someone who's never dived into that type of, you know, advertising or digital numbers. It's easily laid out where you can understand. And like you said, see where your traffic's coming from, how good you're performing. You know, if you benefit better from updated photos or a revised listing, it's just some terrific tools. Travis, like we said, we don't want to take up too much of your time. We know you've got a lot of important things, but we're going to move into our lightning round real quick. So we're going to throw out a series of questions at you. They have nothing to do with tourism. Just answer as quickly as you can. We always say go with your gut reaction, and we'll banter them back and forth real quick. So you want to kick it off?
Sure. If you could have any superpower, what would it be?
I could fly.
Flying. Pretty common one. Pretty common one. All right. Favorite color?
Blue.
That's my favorite color too.
If you were going to have a dinner party and can invite three guests, alive or deceased, who would they be?
Okay. One would be both of my grandfathers. One who I never met, but I've heard so many interesting stories about him, and you know, would love to be able to, you know, have a meal and hear his perspective on those stories. My other grandfather, just because I did know him for quite a while, but it's kind of one of those things you don't always appreciate it until they're mm-hmm. gone, until you're of a certain age too. And now that I live in Arkansas, I'd love to hear some of his perspective on Arkansas too. And then the third would be Jesus, my Lord and Savior.
There you go. We had a previous guest who all was she going to have? It was Jesus, her father-in-law, and oh gosh, I can't remember the third one. But we asked her, we said, well, what would you and Jesus and your grandfather do? And she said, oh, play basketball, of course. Cracked us up.
I like that idea, yeah. Honestly. But
okay, one final one for you. What artist or song do you have on repeat right now? What are you listening to over and over?
Chris Stapleton, any number of his songs. Arkansas obviously stands out a whole lot right now, obviously, but I like quite a few of his other songs on his new album. You Should Probably Leave is a really good one that I really like the guitar on it.
Have you thought about reaching out to him to get some music?
We actually have. We've been having some discussion with some people from his team, so we'll see.
Nice.
If anything develops from there.
Yeah, we'll definitely wait on that as well. All right. Well, thank you again so much for taking some time with us today, Travis. It was a pleasure to visit with you, mm-hmm. and good luck with everything that you're doing. And we look forward to watching your bright future as it unfolds mm-hmm. here in Arkansas.
Thank you so much, Ashley and Jerry and Trey.
It's time for that portion of the show we like to call Fast Facts
with producer Trey.
But today, we don't really have anything to fast fact. Our guest, Travis Napper, was very knowledgeable. He knew exactly what he was talking about. There was nothing that really came up during the episode that we questioned or he questioned or we completely made up and decided to question. That just didn't occur. I, for one, have to say that I was really impressed with Arkansas's choice for their new tourism director. Travis has a great background in tourism. He obviously is really, really enjoying the state so far. And you can tell that, I mean, he knows what he's doing. He's got a plan, because tourism during COVID, or even tourism during, well, once we get to post-COVID, it's a whole different landscape. It's completely different. So I'm really impressed with the plan that he's laid out for Arkansas tourism to continue to flourish and to draw more people into the state. Now, Jerry, I know there was something he mentioned that you thought was really neat that Arkansas rolled out during COVID.
Yes. So the way you were able to take a virtual tour of different places or venues across the state of Arkansas, you know, from the comfort of your sofa or your bed, your computer, your tablet, your device, I thought was really, really interesting and awesome to give people an opportunity to go out and explore the state from the comfort of their own home during quarantine or times of COVID.
It was a great initiative. I was, as I said, really, really impressed with what they did. And I know a lot of people utilized it, because while that was happening, I was still working with Arkansas Tourism in my previous position. And I got to be on the back end of those things as they were rolling out. And everyone, tourism from all the way from the government, state level, down to the small mom and pop tourism businesses, they really did their best to adapt and be flexible to the changing circumstances. So hats off to everyone in Arkansas tourism industry. As always, thank you for listening to the Washtaw Chronicles, brought to you by Don's Easy Pay and Don's Home Store. You can find us, along with other great shows, at thewashtawpodcast.com. You can contact us at thewashtawpodcast@gmail.com. And make sure you find us on Facebook and Instagram and give us a like. We love to interact with our listeners, so drop us a line, Facebook, Instagram, email, whatever your pleasure. Until next time, Ashley and Jerry,
out. Thank you for listening to the Washita Chronicles.